Happy holidays, everyone. It's Charles. I'm Charles Wolforth. It's Hometown Alaska, and we are continuing a fresh holiday tradition here at KSKA, which is to allow the nonprofit organizations who provide so many services in Anchorage to thank their volunteers and just shout out to those folks who help them do what they do. And not only nonprofit organizations, but the political campaigns that use a ton of volunteers, and so do the schools, and many aspects of our community run on folks who just come out and help. I remember talking to a friend, and I was praising a third person and said, he's a great guy. He volunteers all kinds of time for our play school. And the person I was talking said, yeah, well, pretty much everybody does. And hopefully that's true. Hopefully you've got a fun, interesting, rewarding volunteer activity you're doing, or you're involved in an organization that uses volunteers to provide whatever services or you do. And so that's our topic today. We're going to thank volunteers, and we're going to talk about volunteers and how they function in organizations and how we can make that be more effective for everybody. I have two guests in the studio. Sue Brogan is with me. She's with United Way of Anchorage. She's the Vice President of Income Health Impact. Thanks for being with us, Sue.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And you've been working with volunteers for many, many years.
For a long time, yep.
And also Jenny Ragland with the Salvation Army Alaska Division. She's the Service Extension and Emergency Disaster Services Director. Thanks for being with us, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also tons of experience working with volunteers with Salvation Army and all over the place, right?
Yes, absolutely. And a volunteer myself.
And here's the kind of message that we're going to be doing today. This came in through Facebook. Alaska Huts wishes to thank its board of directors, members, Hats for Huts knitters, and volunteers who helped with the recently remodeled Manitoba cabin and yurts. You helped rehabilitate a warm, cozy, and fun adventure site for young and old, family and friends. A special thank you to Laura, who manages the popular online reservation system. You can get your thanks to volunteers into us by sending an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. I'll receive those right here in the studio and read them on the air. And you can also call in by calling 550-8433 from within Anchorage. And from outside Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752. And I want to get to my guests in just a minute, but just to give everybody an example of what we're talking about in terms of volunteer shout-out, let's go to Lainey, who's calling from Alaska Junior Theater. Lainey?
Hi there.
Did you want to thank somebody?
Yeah, I want to thank the volunteers who just joined us for the Ugly Duckling and the Tortoise and the Hare at the Performing Arts Center. We had over 60 people who brought snacks for volunteers and came and greeted the children on the buses for our professional shows and then got them safely into the theater. And we're a staff of three. Without those people coming to help us get, 8,300 kids into the Performing Arts Center, we would be in trouble. So they're just phenomenal, and we really appreciate everything they did.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Sue, that volunteers are a magnifier of effort, aren't they? They've got a three-member organization that's serving 8,300 kids. Is that what a lot of the United Way organizations that you support, how they use volunteers and how volunteers function for them?
I would think so. You know, mostly, most of our nonprofits are small staffs, and they do rely on, from the, you know, top of their board of directors, that volunteer leadership, and then throughout the organization. So that's really great. Without that help, you can imagine that they would have either had to reduce the number of shows or reduce the number of kids that got to go see those shows.
Or maybe not even be able to do it.
Exactly.
Just handling that number
of
people.
Exactly. That's great. That's great.
And it's always fun to hear that, you know, we had 30 volunteers, we had 60 volunteers, and you think, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe that's even possible. Sue, you use volunteers at Salvation Army, and I guess you have a big volunteer push right now at the holidays, right?
Yes, we actually do. If you've been out in the community, you've probably seen our familiar red kettles that come out for the holiday season, and it is a wonderful opportunity for volunteers to sign up. We like to, have individuals come. We encourage businesses to invite their employees to consider volunteering for the Salvation Army. Give 2 hours of time. It's a great family activity so that you can teach your kids about the importance of giving back and being part of a caring community. And then we have service clubs and others who are in the business of volunteering and giving back to their community who come and support us. So it is not too late for folks who've been saying, gosh, I wonder how I might sign up and be a bell ringer. We actually try and make it very easy for you. And we have a website, which is anchoragesa.volunteerfirst.org. And you can go and see the number of locations, and you can pick a shift that works for your schedule. We know everybody's busy, but we also know that everybody can find a couple hours of time to do something important and be part of a community.
Kind of a warm experience to be out there in the doorway and there see a lot of smiling faces. Probably a few grumpy ones too.
Well, you know, I go out and I ring bells every Christmas with the Salvation Army just because I think if we're going to invite volunteers to do it, it's something that I ought to experience myself. And I don't have the right to ask you to do something if I'm not willing to be right there with you doing the same thing.
That sounds like a good rule of volunteer
and,
management.
I think it is. And lead by example and work right there. And you hear great stories from people and, you know, their own personal connection or their experience with the Salvation Army. So it really is a heartwarming experience to be part of that.
And we're going to get into more of those tips about how to manage volunteers and keep them happy. But right now I want to go to Nancy, who's calling from Willow. Nancy?
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for being with us.
Well, I just wanted to, first of all, I should introduce myself. I am the outgoing president of the Alaska Wild Bird Rehab Center. And we had a very busy year this year. We had a sudden last-minute need to move our facility, which involved not just having a new building to operate out of, but we had to move bird caging, fencing, build fencing. We went from having a place, a home, to having a bare piece of land, which now has a building, well, septic, fencing, bird caging, medical clinic, and so on. And we did all this in the course of just a few months. And I just wanted to thank every volunteer who helped us to do that. There, I couldn't even name them all because people showed up just out of the blue to help one day here or there. And we've had a fantastic response from the whole community, and I just really wanted to put a thank you out there for everybody who helped us get moved and for all those volunteers that are helping us continue what we're doing.
Great. Well, thanks, Nancy, for calling. And it kind of, you know, one way we volunteer, Sue, is when people sort of see a big need and everybody comes together. And I had the feeling Alaskans are really good at that. Mm-hmm. But there's also ongoing, you know, volunteer work that needs to be done. And what are some of the most important things to do to keep your ongoing volunteers wanting to continue to keep coming in when there's not the excitement of a crisis or whatever?
I think shows like this, you know, recognizing the volunteers, saying thank you, staying in touch with them. You know, we have in, you know, I'm sure in Salvation Army as in United Way, every day is different. So there are a lot of, you know, there's variety. And if, you know, if you are out there and you're managing the volunteers, to include that variety in those opportunities is important. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't become, you know, you know, every day it's this, you know, every time a volunteer comes in. Now, with that said, though, there are volunteers that like that. So you have to have a little bit of everything in order to keep your volunteers engaged and motivated. But I think, you know, it's always been about relationships, and it always will be. So, you know, having somebody there that cares and then gets to know your volunteers and can actually, you know, figure out how to keep them engaged and, them excited.
Do the job matching so you match
exactly.
up the personality to the
exactly.
job. Does that mean that you kind of need a person whose job it is, a paid volunteer coordinator, to really be effective, or at
well,
least
thank
somebody
you, Charles.
Who's in charge of that?
I've been on that soapbox for 30 years. I think it is. You know, I think that is a critical thing as opposed to, you know, not so when you know volunteer walks in, they don't know who to talk to. They can't remember that person's name. So yes, having somebody that's got that as their job, maybe not full-time, part-time, quarter-time, is very important.
And of course that means an organization has to get up to a level where it has a little bit of money so it can be effective with the volunteers, right?
Well, but you could have a volunteer coordinator,
right. That's
somebody
true.
That's wanting to get into the field of, you know, maybe then, you know, once get some learning behind them and go on to human resource management or go on to fundraising or, you know, it can be a starting and jumping off point for sure.
Yeah. Let's go to Polly, who's calling from Anchorage from the Alaska Literary Program. Polly?
Hi, I thank you very much for giving us the public an opportunity to thank our volunteers. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Literacy Program, and I'd like to give a shout-out to the wonderful volunteers that give their time and energy to change lives through literacy. Their in-kind value this last year was $1.2 million for our agency. So, yay, volunteers.
Wow. And what kind of, what do they do for you? Are they teaching reading?
They teach English and reading and writing to American-born and immigrant and refugees in our community.
I've been told that that is one of the most rewarding things you can do as a volunteer.
Yes, it is, and we'd be happy to have you join us.
Good recruitment there,
yeah,
Polly.
Nice job. Almost. I'm pretty booked up with my school volunteering, but I appreciate it. I think someday I will do that because I was actually volunteering this morning at my kids' school, Stellar Secondary, with a writing program, and it's always the best part of my day. I mean, volunteering in school with kids is, mm-hmm. I think, the most fun thing a parent can do. It is absolutely energizing.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Polly. We're going to move on.
Great. All right. Thanks.
And here's another literacy-related one from coming in by email. Anchorage Imagination Library is currently sending free books each month to over 8,300 local children under age 5 each month. This program is coordinated by a passionate steering committee made up of volunteers, from planning family events to fundraising, enrolling new children, and all the way to picking up and donating undeliverable books from the post office. Our volunteers make things happen to help increase literacy in our community. Thank you, retired teachers, nurses, librarians, philanthropists, enthusiastic parents, and community partners for helping us get over 500,000 books into the hands of children in the Anchorage municipality. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Our topic today is volunteers. It's the volunteer shout-out. Two guests in the studio, Sue Brogan from United Way of Anchorage, Jenny Ragland from the Salvation Army Alaska Division. And we are thanking volunteers. So if you have volunteers that you want to thank and give a shout-out, you can reach us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. That's our email address, hometown@alaskapublic.org. Or call in at 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, it's toll-free at 888-353-5752. And now I'd like to go to Marshall, who's calling from Anchorage. Marshall?
Hi, Charles. My name's Marshall Reed. I'm a president and 4-H rifle leader for the Borealis Bullseye Shooting Club. And I'd just like to thank all the volunteers that make this club possible, that coach the kids in their shooting sports, and take them to competitions outside of Alaska, national and regional competitions, and all the people that also help with the administration of the club. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Marshall. There's such a wide variety of things that volunteers are doing, and I, in asking for guests, I got the United Way and then a faith-based organization, and thinking in terms of social services, but wow, there's, you know, people are involved in their sports, they're involved in literacy, mm-hmm. they're involved in libraries and every kind of thing. I wonder if there's some statistics showing that there are more volunteers per capita in Alaska than other places. And we were talking before the show, Sue, you're not sure if that's true or not. You'd like to have better numbers, but the stats sort of show that we are more voluntary than other places.
Mm-hmm. And we are. We usually rank fifth in the nation, fifth, seventh, 12th, something like that. So the good news is that people are still willing to help. And there's, as you mentioned, there's tons of ways to do that, and more ways than you would actually initially think, perhaps. You know, like you said, you can volunteer in schools. There's 4-H, there's Girl Scouts, there's Boy Scouts, there's through your, you know, faith organizations, there's through nonprofits. You know, if you're just starting out in your career and you want to, you know, hone your leadership skills, you can sit on a board of directors for a nonprofit. It's a great way to learn a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Management, finance, you know, financial skills, facilitation, many things, programmatic things. So mm-hmm. that's always a great opportunity. Or, you know, after school programs with Campfire, bell ringing with Salvation Army. I mean, I believe there's something out there for everyone. And
yeah.
We launched a community tool at the end of May, be the change 907.org. www.bethechange907.org.
And it's linked on our website, yes, too, alaskapublic.org.
You know, it's a great way, if you haven't gotten started volunteering yet, just to peruse some opportunities to start thinking, you know, if you can make the commitment. And, mm-hmm. you know, Polly did a great job when she called in, as, you know, she gave a great description and then she asked the question.
Yeah.
You know, she made the offer, and as did Jenny with the bell ringing. So, yeah, there's just a ton of things out there to get involved in.
Now let's go to Wes, who's calling from Catholic Social Services, Clare House. Wes?
Yeah, hello. I'm Wes Hoskins. I'm the Community Engagement Manager for Catholic Social Services. And broadly, last year, 821 volunteers provided nearly 40,000 hours of service to help Catholic Social Services carry out our mission. That equals about 20 full-time employees. And specifically, one example is at Clare House, which is our 24-hour shelter for women with children and expectant mothers. We have 31 meal provider teams preparing and delivering dinners to feed about 50 people each night of the week, every day of the month. And so the Clare House meal providers have been shopping, cooking, and delivering meals for about 30 years. And this group of people ranges from service groups like Anchorage, International Rotary, local area churches, and individual families. And so, yeah, we are really delighted, and we want to thank our Clare House meal providers and also the many other volunteers who help with our 8 programs, helping to serve the hungry, homeless, and vulnerable.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
And now I'd like to turn to Sue from Girl Scouts of Alaska. Sue?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
We have 1,500 adult volunteers.
Wow.
Adults who are troop leaders and mentors. They run workshops for girls and coach Lego robotics teams. And I would like to thank each and every one of our adult volunteers, because they are really what make Girl Scouts go and what provide just a wonderful experience for Alaska's girls.
Fantastic. Thanks for calling. And
thanks.
1,500, that might be the record so far today. So I wanted Jenny, the motivation for volunteers, you're a faith-based organization. a lot of people volunteer because that's part of their belief system. They think that that's a necessary part of being an ethical person. True?
It is. And that really fits within the mission of the Salvation Army, really to identify what those needs are and to determine how we can best meet those needs. Sometimes it's physical needs, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's spiritual needs that we're talking about, but that we have the opportunity to really engage people. And I think Sue touched on it just a little bit earlier about really the need to have, number one, a variety of experiences available for people. Some things, you know, you can't fit that square peg into a round hole. You have to really invest in having a good conversation with your volunteers to make sure that you've identified what you think is the best opportunity for them at this point in time. Give them, you know, the opportunity to experience that. Come back, ask for their feedback, I think, is really part of that evaluation mm-hmm. process that's really helpful. But really, I think their motivation is they want to be part of a community. They want to do something good. And they want to have a greater sense of purpose about what they're able to contribute as part of that community. And the benefit is that, you know, we benefit from developing relationships and meeting those people and helping, hopefully, to partner them and to give them a good experience in volunteering and maybe even sometimes, you know, figuring out that what they've been doing isn't where they want to be. They really are more interested mm-hmm. and moving them from being a volunteer to an employee who's working on a daily basis, something that's really meaningful for them.
Yeah, it's a personal development thing, no
absolutely.
Question about it. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from the Nordic Ski Association. Chris?
Actually, I'm calling not from the Nordic, but I'm calling
sorry.
To thank the Nordic Skiing Association.
Oh, great.
Particularly the Green Grunt Program, which provides volunteers to help manage the races, both the high school series and all the other races that happen in the area. And at least on the high school level, about 40 or so people get up at 7 in the morning and they start out with a breakfast, and then they set up the start and the finish. They manage the the bibs, they manage the race, and it's totally volunteer, and they're doing this for the great privilege of spending hours standing in the cold, watching kids go by. But it's a fabulous group of people, and I know I've been involved with the high school racing scene the last few years because my daughter's in high school, and it's just they have a lot of fun, but they're also providing a marvelous service that reaches so many kids.
Very true, and it's such a big part of our lifestyle here in Anchorage, and really without an enormous number of volunteers, it wouldn't work. And you see them out there being green grunts in their bunny boots and their parkas. But also when you talk to them, they talk about what a great time they have and how they all have so much fun being there. So it works both ways. So thanks, Chris. We're going to keep going because we got so many calls. Larry is calling from Anchorage. Larry?
I'm calling in with regard to the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program. And we have over 100 volunteers in the state of Alaska that spend a lot of time to spin up on tax law and then during the tax season prepare taxes for free for people, either seniors or low to moderate income people. And thanks to Sue and her staff, we do have a cluster of new people coming
Yay.
In training up right
That's
now.
Exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. That's exciting.
We did get a good turnout here of new people who are currently training from scratch. So the experienced people only have to kind of spin up with new tax law for the season, but we have quite a few people starting up right now with their training, and we'll be February through mid-April doing taxes at various sites throughout the state.
It's amazing how many opportunities are out there for people to avail themselves of these services. And you think about volunteering, there's some things that are relatively fun to volunteer with. Mm-hmm. Doing taxes is not something I think of as being fun. Do you do this, Larry? And do you find it, like, what keeps you doing it? Is it fun? Is it just nice to help people?
I've had trouble calling it fun.
Really?
Because what you've said, it's not typically enjoyable for anybody to do, but I have always done it primarily because doing my own taxes, I was familiar enough with tax law that I thought, well, I'll just do the little bit of extra training to learn how everybody else's taxes should be done. And I feel that tax law is complicated enough that a lot of people either don't want to or are unable to figure it out. And mm-hmm. so I'm more than willing to help those folks. And
that's great. Well, thank you for doing that, Larry. Thanks for calling in. And now we're going to go to Muff, who's calling about the women's cancer fly fishing. Muff?
Yes. I'm calling because I want to give a thanks to Jan Schnorr. And she just does an incredible job of putting together fly fishing retreats for women with any kind of cancer. And she gets the money for it, so these are totally free workshops. And she just does such a magnificent job. And I'm with Women Listen, and we want to give her a great thank you for all the work and all the volunteers that she gets to go with her and put this workshop on.
Fantastic. So, That's a great idea, and I know it's been going on for a long time, but I'm glad to hear it's still going and still going strong.
This is a little different. See, there's Casting for Recovery, and that was just for breast cancer patients. And she said, no, I want this to be for women with any kind of cancer. And that's what Women Listen is all about. We address any woman with any kind of cancer. It's not just breast, and there's a lot of women out there that have a need to talk and share that don't have breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet as a support group every Friday at Natural Pantry, and it's open to any woman. And then Jan puts on these retreats for us as well.
Fantastic. So, thanks for calling, Muff.
Sure.
So it's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we are thanking volunteers, and we're getting lots of messages from organizations and individuals who thank, I just got a funny email, who thank volunteers and who use them and appreciate them. And it's fun and it's energizing and it's a good part of the holidays. And in the studio with me, Sue Brogan is here from the United Way of Anchorage and Jenny Ragland from the Salvation Army Alaska Division. And if you have someone or many people you want to thank, the phone number here is 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. Email hometown@alaskapublic.org. Sue, we've talked about a little bit about motivating volunteers. What are just a couple of quick tips about avoiding demotivating them, or what things you want to avoid doing to deflate the situation, or make people not want to volunteer, or make them not want to come back?
I think it's around making sure that the work that is being done is meaningful, so they can see that their time is being well spent. And I think that is a great way to keep volunteers coming back. I wanted to comment on the Green Grunt, the gal that called in to thank her volunteers. That is a great way also when you're standing out there to show those high school students, if they don't already know, how important it is to be involved in your community. That you don't, you know, they probably had folks out there that weren't associated with those families, like parents have to do certain things. But, you know, that's a great way to get started and model that behavior like Jenny was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps helps, you know, your program too, your volunteer program, when, you know, folks can see that you're having a good time and, you know, you're doing what you want to do. And, you know, that's how I started off. I mean, I was in third grade and my parents were involved and I went with them. And the next thing you know, you get involved, you like it, you have fun. You can go with your friends and do volunteer opportunities. You can go, you know, as a book club, and you can go as the Green Grunts. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can make it social. And mm-hmm. I think that's another thing, especially in Alaska, mm-hmm. where a lot of people don't have family. Mm-hmm. This is volunteering is a great way to, you know, create that family right. feeling, especially this time of year and with the weather and the isolation. And I mean, you know, mm-hmm. there's just get out and get involved.
And when you volunteer in your kid's school or sporting event, a lot of those Green Grunts actually don't have any kids in the races. They're just out there to do it. But
yeah,
when you volunteer for your own kids, thing, then it creates that tradition in the family, which mm-hmm. is certainly how I mm-hmm. became a school volunteer, because my mom was a super, super strong school volunteer. Mm-hmm. So this email that I was laughing at was Ashley from Stellar emailing to thank me for volunteering, as I already mentioned. And then she also had a shout out for Victoria Wendell, who volunteers her time to encourage and set up volunteer opportunities for students. And a lot of several schools I know of do have volunteer coordinators who keep everybody else going. And if you don't have that, it's hard to make it happen. So let's go to Kelly from the Alaska Botanical Garden. Kelly?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I just want to thank all of our long-term and new volunteers that really keep the garden growing. We have over 100 volunteers that come out and lead tours of the garden and share their knowledge about horticulture, teach kids about plants in the natural world, and help with research and so much more. And with over 25,000 people coming out to the garden every year and a very small staff, it just wouldn't be possible without all of our volunteers who spend so much time and hard work and dedication out here. So thank you.
Yeah, and the garden kind of came from volunteers in the first place, didn't it?
Yes, it
was built by volunteers.
It all started with volunteers.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much for calling. And now let's go to Carla from the Food Bank of Alaska. Carla?
Thank you. I want to thank our 1,905 volunteers from last year who gave us 17,500 hours doing everything from sorting cans to building boxes for distribution in an assembly line to important office jobs. We could not do our job getting food to hungry Alaskans without them. And what's really remarkable about this is that this number doesn't even count all the people in our communities who contributed food when their business or their church had a food drive, or conducted food drives themselves, or helped hand out groceries at our Thanksgiving blessing event in Anchorage and in the Valley, or came out answering our call the last couple of days at Neighborhood Gift to hand out groceries for a holiday meal and gifts for kids. So it's thousands upon thousands who help get food to our hungry neighbors.
That's right. And it's neat that the food is donated and then the effort is largely donated to distribute the food. And so I imagine a pretty small amount of cash money and employees go into a huge effort that unites the whole community.
Well, it still does take...
It takes some, I know, yeah.
It takes some. And we really appreciate our volunteers. They make a very meaningful contribution to making it all work.
Great. Thanks for calling, Carla.
You're welcome. Thanks for this great show.
All right. Well, it's Hometown Alaska, and it's already time for our mid-show break. I've got a bunch more emails and messages to thank people, and I hope that if you have folks to thank, you can take a few minutes to pick up the phone and give us a call. The lines are open again, and so we can take more volunteer thank yous. The number here in Anchorage is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And, you know, it's not only organizations, but also individuals who are helped by volunteers and have seen others doing stuff that they like to see, churches, politicos, nonprofits, schools. It's really extraordinary how much is done in this community, so it's fun to be able to reach out and thank everyone. So anyway, we'll be back in a moment with more of Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
On Hometown Alaska, I'm Charles Woolforth, and we're talking about volunteerism and accepting lots of thank yous on behalf of the entire community for the volunteers who keep our town going. And, you know, KSKA uses many, many volunteers, and I have a list of them. Maybe I'll read a few now and read a few later. Marvell Johnson has been doing Soul to Soul for so many years, maybe all the way from back when the show started, and Marvell is such a wonderful guy. In fact, I started my work career as a volunteer at KSKA when the station first started in around late 1970s. And as Sue was saying, sort of learned how to do radio. And so here I am all this time later. Kirk Waldhouse does KSK night music. Gene Paul and Steve Hunt do stage talk. Sandy Harper and Dick Reichman do Alaska Radio Rear Rambler. Dave Luera, Algo Nuevo, Shanti Elder with traveling music. Ed Ratliff is a guest host on Morning Edition. Erin Kirkland helped us out on Outdoor Explorer. Boy, she has a lot of energy. She's such a helpful person. Steve Grabacki and Marianne Kerr do Rock Island Line. And so we're doing the Volunteer Appreciation Show on KSKA. I have two guests in the studio, Sue Broken from United Way of Anchorage, Jenny Ragland, the Salvation Army Alaska Division. Jenny, the same question I asked Sue, what are the biggest mistakes that volunteer coordinators make in terms of not energizing volunteers or not getting them back? I mean, what are the things you avoid when you're working with volunteers?
Well, I think being prepared is probably one of the keys. If you are not on time, you don't have everything ready, because we're asking people to give something that's very precious, their extra time where they could choose to do anything, and they're choosing to give and serve within your agency or your organization. So if you're not prepared and they're not going to have a great experience, I think you're going to encounter some challenges. I think the other thing is, if there isn't a mechanism for their voice to be heard, they see things from a whole different perspective. We sometimes are a little bit close and passionate about our own personal agencies and organizations where we work. So having that fresh perspective, I think, is really valuable to be able to listen. And, you know, I think time and time again where we kind of had a pre-planned agenda. And just listening to feedback, we were able to tweak and adjust things on the fly, and it became such a more, much more positive experience for everyone.
Don't waste their time.
Absolutely.
That's
well,
the bottom
and,
line.
And yes. They're great advocates out in the community.
Absolutely.
For your organization. So you
True.
Want to make sure that, you know,
their
you,
experience is positive.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because we want them posting on Facebook or on their blogs or mm-hmm. telling their friends when they bump into them in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Did you know what's happening at the Salvation Army or any of these other wonderful organizations that have had folks call in our community?
Right.
That's the word we want to hear. Not, did you hear what's going
right.
on?
Right.
You know,
that
there's
day.
A whole yeah. different tone using the same words.
Here's an email from Debbie saying, Alaska Rose Society now exists solely to maintain the Centennial Rose Garden located on the park strip. Mary Wanzel is the most important volunteer. She also helps coordinate the rest of us to weed, water, buy, and plant replacement roses and other plants for the enjoyment of all. The Rose Society also purchased the materials for all the raised beds, trellises, and new arbors built by Andrew Eller to satisfy his Eagle Stout requirements. The Rose Garden is such a peaceful, lovely place.
Oh, it's beautiful.
In summertime, I love to go there for lunch.
Thank you all for doing that.
Yeah. All right. Mariko is with us from the Alaska Community Foundation.
Hi there. I wanted to quickly thank our board of directors, as well as our affiliate advisory board members that work to grow philanthropy across the state. We have over 100 volunteers that we work with, and I just wanted to say thank you to them for their dedication to making Alaska a better place to live in.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And now Dick is calling from Anchorage. Dick?
Hi there. I'm Dick Morris. I'm with the Engine 557 Restoration Company. And it's interesting that ACF was the caller before us because they're one of our big supporters, too.
And what are you guys doing? What are you restoring?
We're restoring Alaska Railroad locomotive 557. It's the last steam locomotive to operate on the Alaska Railroad, and it's the sister to 556, which has been in the park strip for so many years.
Okay.
It will be operational hopefully year after next. We've got in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 regular volunteers. Some of them come out several days a week even. I guess a particular shout-out to Pat Duran, who for the last year and a half has been the president of the corporation, served as project manager, and has put in 40-plus hours every week for the last year and a half. Also, Jeff DeBrock, who's our chief mechanical officer, and he oversees the disassembly and rehabilitation of the locomotive.
Cool.
And
great.
Then I think it's also appropriate to talk about all our in-kind donors. And I won't do names, but many, many companies have done everything from asbestos removal to giving us paint to done machine work, given us machine tools, loaned us machine tools. So it's a pretty remarkable effort, and we're about to start spending money now because there are some specialized projects that we have to do that involve certified boiler welders and things like that. But up to this point, it's essentially been 100% volunteer effort. At the end of the first year, it was over 3,000 hours of volunteer time.
That's great.
And that was 6 months ago.
Thanks for telling us about it, Dick. It also sounds like it's probably kind of fun for people who like fixing things. And here's an email from the Anchorage Museum, from Kelly down there. I'd like to take a minute to thank all the volunteers at the Anchorage Museum. We would not be able to run all the amazing programs we have here without our volunteers. They help out in every area of the museum, in the gift shop, in collections, in the resource center, in the Imaginarium, in the education and public programs department. I work mainly with the docents, and I see their dedication to education every day. They come in on short notice, in bad weather, when they have sick children or ailing spouses. Their unfailingly positive attitudes and willingness to help out in any capacity inspire me and make me enjoy coming into work so much more than I already do. So please send a great big thank you to all the Anchorage Museum volunteers. So one of the things that people worry about in volunteers is, well, if you don't pay somebody, they might not show up. But actually, dedicated volunteers are super reliable, aren't they?
They can be, sure. Yeah. You know, I think that, again, it goes back to, as Jenny said, being prepared and making sure the volunteer opportunity is apparent and that it's meaningful, so they feel that connection and they want to do that. They feel the responsibility and they want to show up. Most of, it sounds like everyone that's called in or the emails that you've read, those folks do feel that. And that's exactly what the feeling you want to walk away from when you volunteer. And I just want to give a shout out to all the volunteers that are volunteering in education in schools. I'm a school-based mentor through Big Brothers Big Sisters. I have a little sister over at Lake Hood. And much to what Larry was talking about with the tax prep volunteers, that type of volunteer opportunity isn't for everybody, nor is mentoring for everybody. That one-on-one, it might be too intense for you, might be too much time, more time than you can give. But there are other things that you can do in schools. Yeah, there's just so many cool things.
The energy of working with kids.
I know.
If you like that, that's just, and if your own kids have grown up, then it might be just the thing you need to brighten up your day. Steve is calling from Anchorage about UAA debate. Steve?
Hello there. I'm calling to say thanks to all the terrific volunteers who help out with the speech and debate programs that the UAA Seawolf Debate Program is involved with over the academic year. There are high school and middle school debating programs happening throughout the academic year, about 15 over the course of the year.
Wow.
And they involve high school students from all around Anchorage and all around Alaska. And they also involve now middle school students that we're having compete in debating contests. And we are the beneficiaries of hours and hours of volunteer service from a number of people who come and give their time to judge these students, to provide them feedback, and to help them develop their critical thinking and advocacy skills. And we just want to say that we are so thankful to all of those people who help us out with this noble goal.
Yeah, and those meets, those debate, drama, and forensic meets, they last all day, and the judges really put in a lot of effort to make those things work and give a lot of attention to each kid so they feel valued when they do their presentation.
Yeah, and not only all day long, but sometimes 2 and 3 days all day long. So it's a lot of work, and they're really dedicated to it.
That's great. Thanks for calling, Steve. I know it's a super successful program as well. So it's Hometown Alaska. We're thanking volunteers today. Sue Brogan and Jenny Ragland are with me in the studio today. I'm Charles Woolforth. If you have somebody you want to thank, the number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And now Avi is calling from Anchorage about Listening Post.
Yeah, about the Listening Post. We have about 50 volunteers that actually receive our weekly lessons on how to listen with compassionate, non-judgmental listening here in town. And about 20 of those volunteers are very regularly showing up to the Listening Post. We couldn't keep our doors open without them. We're 100% volunteer-operated and 100% donation-funded. So I just want to shout out to Listening Post volunteers.
And so Listening Post is about giving people just a friendly ear for emotional support when they're having hard times?
For any time.
For
frankly, most of the stories that we sit for and listen to are about hard times, but we're there if you have something joyful to share and can't wait to share it and or don't have someone at home to share it with. So we're at the Transit Center downtown, so it's open door policy. Come as you are. Come and share whatever's on your heart. And like I said, we have about 20 that are very consistent volunteers that come in 5 days out of the week.
That's neat.
Okay. To anyone who needs it. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for that call. And, you know, Jenny, it seems that there's a different type of job for every personality. We had the folks who want to fix locomotives, to fix the old steam locomotive. Someone on the other end of the spectrum who will go to the Transit Center and listen to people talk about the difficulties in their lives. And I've mentioned the Salvation Army, you kind of have the same range. You've got disaster response, which...
We do.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for that. That is something that I'm particularly passionate about as I head up the Salvation Army's disaster response, which is something that we're in the process of developing and are looking to engage people in our community who have an interest and a heart for being available to provide sometimes very practical support with a cup of cold water or coffee or hot soup for someone. Sometimes that listening ear when someone has experienced a personal crisis or a loss of some kind. And that is not something that's just really focused on the Anchorage area. This is a statewide opportunity that the Salvation Army is working to provide training and to engage volunteers through. But we also have some really fun and amazing projects. Every month at our McKinnell Family Shelter, operated by the Salvation Army, we host a birthday party or a celebration party to celebrate all of the great things that are happening. Families that are in the crisis of homelessness have joy in their lives, and they want to feel special and that someone cares about them. So we have different groups and organizations that come in and sponsor a monthly birthday celebration party for our families that are staying with us. We have an after-school program where people can come and help participate in mentoring young children. We have all kinds of holiday volunteer opportunities. We're looking for folks that want to join our Salvation Army Advisory Board or Advisory Councils. We're looking for people that want to ride along as we deliver Meals on Wheels in the community. So if you are interested and you have been trying to find your place to give a little bit of time in the community, we certainly would invite you to call.
Yeah, we're thanking all these volunteers, but there's still plenty of room left for more, right?
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
So let's go to Cindy, who's calling from Seward at the Alaska Sea Life Center. Cindy?
Hello, Charles. I'd like to thank our wonderful volunteers, which we couldn't be open 363 days a year without their help. We consider them just part of our staff and appreciate them. We honored our first 15-year volunteer this year. Richard Champion's been working in our interpretation program that long. Our volunteer that works in our rehab department, Sybil Castro, was the volunteer of the year, drives over from Nikiski to Seward every Sunday to volunteer 4 hours. And it just excites her to come and do it, and she just oozes excitement out to the rest of the staff. So volunteers really build us up here. You can volunteer for our galas, our Sea Fest, our Ocean Day celebrations. And this year we're partnering with the city. We are getting 3 RV sites down on the Greenbelt so that we can have a space for people who might want to come and spend 6 weeks to 12 weeks with us in volunteering 20 hours a week with us, but getting a free RV space.
Oh, neat.
And hook up. So if you're interested, get on our website and follow the links and communicate with us. We've got openings.
Great. Thanks for calling, Cindy. And here's an email from Crystal at Pacific Northern Academy. I'd like to thank the parents at Pacific Northern Academy for all they do to make PNA such a special place to learn and work. So nice and to the point. Thank you, Crystal. And just continuing with the volunteers here at KSKA that we'd like to thank, our Community Advisory Council is made up of Diana Eade, Wayne Eske, Jim Barr, Paula Benchero, Joy Mapai, Richard Lazur, Steve Schemberg, and Susan Condon. Pretty impressive group of people who are giving their time to advise this radio station and keep us strong. Sue, United Way has tools to connect volunteers with opportunities as well, right? Tell us about how people can find the opportunity that's right for them.
Well, they can, as I mentioned, go to our new community website, which is bethechange907.org, or they can call me for sure, and I can talk them through. It's usually good to, when you're starting your volunteer career, to think about what type of time you have to give, and that would help whomever you're going to be speaking to quickly get you engaged in a volunteer opportunity. Is it, you know, during the weekends only, you know, during the workday? You know, be realistic about what you're looking for. And then also the first question I would ask somebody would be, where do you want to make a difference in the community? What do you want to do? Where do you want to make an impact? And through a series of 2 or 3 questions, you can I can usually steer somebody in the right direction. And then one thing I wanted to say is important, that when you make the call to a nonprofit, some nonprofits do have volunteer managers. Some have volunteer coordinators. Some have people in resource development. So it's just easiest to say, may I speak to whomever coordinates your volunteers or whoever works with the volunteers in case one of those titles doesn't exist. But somebody will always, you know, hopefully be available to speak to somebody. So it's just tips that I give people that call me.
Right. And it's up to organizations to make sure they're open, receptive, and sort of are ready when that call happens. It's opportunity knocking. Okay. Hometown Alaska on KSKA. We're thanking volunteers today. Just about 10 minutes left. So if you're thinking about calling in, it's probably a good time to do it. The number here is 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to go to Sandra, who's calling from Anchorage. You're with Anchorage East Rotary, Sandra?
Yes, I am. And I'd just like to thank our members who volunteer in so many ways, both within the community and in our World Community Service. Just to give two examples, last Saturday in the snow, we had about 20 people volunteering outdoors at the Fairview Recreation Center because every second Saturday our club mans the mobile food pantry. And so they were out handing out food bank food. And at the same time, there were another 20 of us who were working with a English language camp for new refugees and immigrants who wanted to work on their English language skills. So there are just so many ways that through Rotary you can be involved in your community. And I thank all of the volunteers in our club who put in that time.
That's great. And Rotary and other organizations like it are really service organizations where people are just reaching out and getting together because they want to serve and do it with a group of people they enjoy.
That's right. The motto of Rotary is service above self.
Mm-hmm. So that's great. Thanks so much for calling, Sandra.
Thank you. Bye.
Here's an email from Rachel Day, who's vice president of the Alaska Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf, a local chapter that works to educate the public about our profession, grow our local interpreting resources, and provides professional development for interpreters across the state. Rachel says she would like to thank Ann Dawson for her heroic efforts in providing Alaskan Sign Language interpreters with the professional development they need. Ann Dawson is pretty much a one-woman show, says Rachel. She puts together workshops across the state and is working to make trainings available to interpreters in rural Alaska. It's difficult to access workshops up here in Alaska. Ann has done an amazing job providing trainings, bringing in leaders in the interpreting profession to Alaska and writing grants. Thanks, Anne. We don't thank you enough. Hand-speaking Alaska interpreting in Talkeetna. Great. And it is true there. We do have some super volunteers who sort of go way beyond what mortals do. I found that sometimes they can scare off the regular volunteers because they can't live up to their high level, but we sure do appreciate them, and we couldn't make it without them. And now let's go to Christine, who's also in Talkeetna with the Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center. Christine?
Hi, I'd like to thank the Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center. There are avalanche professionals all over the state who do great work, from Valdez to the Chugach to the Alaska Avalanche Center, but the Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center is based in Chicoloon. It's entirely volunteer-run by Jed Workman and Allie Barker, who are avid backcountry skiers who put out a report every week to keep Hatcher Pass users up on conditions. And like I said, it's a labor of love. They have a website, and I'd encourage backcountry users in the Hatcher Pass area to check it out. If you search Hatcher Pass Avalanche Center online, you'll find it. And I just want to thank all of the professionals and volunteers who help get avalanche information out to backcountry users. Thanks.
That's fantastic. And life-saving service. So thanks for calling, Christine.
You're welcome.
So we're just finishing up our volunteer shout-out show here on KSKA on Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth, and my guests are Sue Brogan with the United Way of Anchorage and Jenny Ragland from Salvation Army Alaska Division. Sue, is there a difference in the volunteers who are involved in the faith-based communities in town as opposed to the, you know, secular nonprofits? I mean, do you see any patterns there in motivation or how much people volunteer or why they volunteer? Or is it sort of the same all the way around? And now let's do the same thing, Jenny.
I think I haven't noticed that. You know, I think once the key really is, you know, once you connect the nonprofit professional, whether it's, you know, faith-based or not, once you connect with somebody and you've connected them with their passion, because they come to you, they're passionate about what you're doing. And once you make that connection, I've never seen a dramatic difference in the community. We're blessed with we are such a generous community, from giving time and giving money, donating items, donating food. It seems like Alaskans, people all over our state, are always rushing towards wanting to help, and that to me is just amazing. So, you know, the nonprofits, be prepared, be ready, and you know, a lot of people this time of year especially like to connect and give, and there's ways to do that. And then, you know, starting the first of the year, if you haven't volunteered, it's a good time to kick it off. Start a family tradition. We've got Martin Luther King Day coming up. It's a day on, not a day off. National Day of Service. So we're United Way is going to have a couple big projects. We're going to be doing some canvassing some neighborhoods and sharing some information about Alaska 211, which is a resource, a statewide resource. So that's an opportunity. So, you know, being creative and being a role model for your kids, getting involved. Yeah. So,
Jenny, do you want to take that one? Do you think there's a difference? In...
did I not answer the question well enough?
I think you answered the question very well, and I would agree 100% with Sue. Having volunteered myself both within faith-based organizations and just as a parent in my children's school and all kinds of other opportunities in the community, I think really the heart of volunteering is that people want to do something to contribute and to be part. They have a greater sense of purpose. And I think that translates across every spectrum. I think even in instances where we see a number of social work students who wanted to start with an internship, which is really volunteering, and kind of having a safe environment to test those skills to see where you might fit in a professional capacity, I think their motivation changes. Where it started maybe as something I have to do, if you give them that great experience, it changed to something that they look forward to and is something that really can help really set their path for the future.
Yeah.
I think maybe everybody doesn't approach volunteering from that perspective.
Right. And I think it's a great way. I mean, because it's the starting of community.
It's
grassroots of building community.
Right.
No matter how you define it, you become associated with that group. And then they become your
individual. You're
right.
getting out of the house, getting away from the screen.
Yes, exactly.
And getting with
Absolutely.
Other people.
And there's a place for everyone.
In just less than a minute we have left, I'd like each of you to just give the quick summary version of how people can get involved. Sue?
I would say go to bethechanged907.org. Get involved with your kid's school. Follow your passions. Pay attention to what's going on in the community. You can advocate. You can get involved in the political scene if that's what you desire. There's a role for everyone.
Jenny?
100% what Sue said. Make time to make a difference. You know, we always say we want to be involved. We want to do something. So just take that plunge and do it.
And that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Sue Brogan from the United Way of Anchorage, Jenny Ragland from Salvation Army Alaska Division. Hometown Alaska will be off for the next couple of weeks for the holidays. We just happen to fall on Christmas and New Year's this year. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Happy holidays and see you next year.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.